Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And it's titled, Jesus is Tested in the Wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you. And they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. God bless.
So for the new year, I'm just completed a draft calendar for the whole new year and about to circulate it amongst core leaders of sections and things like that, for them to just contribute their little bit. And we should have that out by next Sunday. And we should be having our monthly newsletter, and that will commence next Sunday as well. So you'll get to know what's on. But the calendar is quite comprehensive, and it's included a yearly preaching plan for the year. And, I really felt the Lord had told me to go a certain direction with it. So I'm going with that, and I'm excited about that plan. And we will have a preaching team that will assist in delivering that preaching plan to you. But the preaching plan is about the panorama of God's Word. So it expands across, there's a whole lot of teaching, expands across the whole Old Testament, New Testament, but it's a panorama of just the life of Jesus through the New Testament. And it'll be interesting to participate in. So I'm looking forward to that. And today is the very first account of that. And it's starting with this story, the temptation in the wilderness. There was an important footnote that I read in my Bible concerning this time of temptation for Jesus. And it's something we need to keep in mind when we think about this account. Because sometimes it causes us to some confusion, you know. Jesus was tempted. Yeah, it's a hard one, and we've got to sort of like really try and fully understand that and read that a little bit more if you're inquisitive about it. So this was the footnote that was in my Bible. To be tempted from the divine standpoint means a positive test. From the devil's standpoint, it implies enticement to sin. However, from Jesus' standpoint, it is a challenge from Satan to test God's sovereignty and plan. So that's the way I'd like to look at it this morning, that this account of Jesus being tempted from his standpoint is a challenge from Satan to test God's sovereignty and plan. And we see that clearly in verse 6, and it reminds us a little bit of like a boxer, a flailing boxer who comes back into the boxing competition and challenges his very strong opponent for a fight. This is what this scripture is about. It's about Satan thinking, I'm going to take Jesus on, but he doesn't realise he's not going to win, you know. But he's going to take him on, a bit like a boxer like that. And we know that it started like that because he said, if you are the Son of God, prove yourself, more or less. Start to prove yourself. And then he began to test him in that way. On a personal note, I have always been encouraged by this passage because of Jesus' victorious exit at the other end of this desert experience. Every person in this room faces times of temptation, and we need help when our times of testing come. because the truth is, unlike Jesus, we fail in the area far more often than we succeed. Would you agree? We do. This passage offers some much-needed help and hope when our own times of testing and temptation come. So let's look at a few things throughout this passage, and I pray something that that you may hear will encourage you at this time in your life. Look firstly at the timing of his temptation. It appears in the Bible that there was no lag time between Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist and Jesus' wilderness experience. One moment Jesus was hearing the approval of his Father, this is my son, of whom I'm, you know, greatly pleased. And then the next moment he finds himself being compelled to go into a time of temptation. And there's an application for us in that message. There is a great lesson here for the children of God. We are never more vulnerable than when we are coming out of a great victory. Do you remember things like that when that happens? You've had a wonderful experience and then, man, what did that happen for? That's come from left field and that's really, really hard. Satan loves to attack us when we think we are the strongest. This is clearly taught in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, said Paul, be careful that you don't fall. And it doesn't mean we go along with a defeatist attitude, always living like that, like I'm going to have an amazing time with the Lord and be blessed and blah, 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 and I'm powering along and things like that. And then Satan comes. It's not all the time, but there are times that does happen, and we've all experienced that. Elijah was someone who experienced that on Mount Carmel in the Old Testament. He had that great victory over those 450 prophets of Baal. And then the account when Elijah prayed for rain, and it rained for the first time in 3.5 years. But you think about the one with Baal. He was feeling, you know, really on top of the world. And then Jezebel, remember Jezebel came and said, I'm going to get you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do what, you know, you did to the prophets of Baal. And what did he do? Did he stand up and say, bring it on, Jezebel? No, he didn't. Do you remember what he did? He ran like crazy. And that's what happened when Elijah was at the top of his game. So we need to learn from those experiences. Don't ever think there's a place, I like this, don't ever think there's a place where the devil can't touch you or can't reach you. We have to be very attentive. There was also the timing of his temptation and now a glance at the territory of his temptation. We are told that Jesus was sent into the wilderness. The Jews saw the wilderness as a place of danger, gloom, and as a place where demons dwelt. For them, it represented everything that was evil and separated from God. And Jesus was sent into the wilderness to do battle with the devil on his own territory. This wasn't the first time, because Jesus had already invaded the devil's territory when he was born into this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 states, the God of this age, little g, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When Jesus came into this world, he was declaring war on the devil and bringing the battle to him. And in this time of temptation, again, the battle lines between Jesus and Satan were clearly drawn from the outset. The temptation of Jesus served three basic purposes that I can see today. I'm sure there's many, many more if you delved into this passage, but there's three that I wanted to bring up today. The devil found out just who he was dealing with in this time of temptation. Jesus experienced his Father's ability to take care of him. And we can see that there is help for us when we face our own times of testing. I just want to take a look for a few moments at the trials of that temptation. There was a trial concerning Jesus' leadership. The temptation was all about Jesus doing battle with the devil, as I said, but Matthew is quick to tell us that the Spirit of God is the one who caused Jesus to go into the wilderness. When temptations to do evil come, they never ever come from the hand of God. We must know that and be certain of that. When temptations do come to do evil, they never come from the hand of God. James 1:13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." God never leads people into sin. He is in the business of leading us away from sin, not into sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. However, he will send us into periods of testing. He does this not to cause us to fail, but to help us grow in the Lord, and we've experienced that as well. He knows that we do our best growing when the pressure is on. But God will not send you into a time of temptation to sin, but he will send you into a time of testing to help you grow. If you want to explore it further, like I said, you could read Joseph's story, which is a remarkable story, the coat of many colours and what transpires. It's an incredible story, the story of Joseph. And you want to explore that a little bit more. The thing is to remember that Satan also uses these times to tempt us. So the times of testing we're in, Satan will come in and use those times as well. So we need to be aware and astute, and our minds need to be sharp about that kind of thing, that that's what the Satan will do. Another trial was Jesus' loneliness. There was a trial against his leadership and now his loneliness. In that wilderness place, Jesus was cut off from friends and family. And loneliness, I believe, is a curse of society. I just think it's a terrible, terrible thing, and I wish we could find a way to bring some relief to the lonely people in this world. You know, we do it in part, you know, somehow with our groups on Friday and during the week, but loneliness is a real curse. It's very, very difficult for people. And so Jesus was shut off for a time so that he might be tested. His only companions were the wild beasts, the angels, and the devil. Mark, in his book, An Account of Jesus' Temptation, mentions that Jesus was with the wild beasts, and some commentaries suggest that Mark emphasised the wild beasts because they lived only in barren places. Mark wanted us to get an idea, a clear descriptive idea, of just how difficult this wilderness experience was for Jesus. The deserts in Jesus' day were inhabited by lions, hyena, wild boars and jackals. Pretty scary. And I think if I was in the wilderness like that with Jesus and I don't think I would have slept. Did he sleep? Like, I mean, when you think about it, did he really sleep with all those kind of wild boars and lions and things around him? It must have been a terrible, harrowing experience for him. However, the Spirit of God was there to give the Lord Jesus comfort during his trial, as were the angels who administered food after his testing. But of course, the devil was there also. And he was there to see Jesus fail. He came to tear the Lord down and defeat him if he could. And so the application for us as well is, how many times during those 40 days did Satan tell Jesus that no one cared? How many times did he tell the Lord how foolish he was for trusting God? How many times did he point out the fact that Jesus was alone and had no food and had no friends? And there are times when it feels like that we are walking through the hard places of life and all alone. And it seems that the only one around us is the devil. Have you ever felt like that sometimes? That's reality for people. He comes around to do us just what he did to Jesus. He comes to mock our faith and challenge our resolve to the truth. Even when it seems you are all alone, you are not. The Lord's angels are there ministering to you in ways that you will not know until you get to heaven one day. The Lord himself is there, even when you can't see him, sense him or feel him. He is still there to help you. I can recall going through a very, and if I, it was the, the collapse of our family and things like that, and the abandonment of my husband. And then, I tell you, what a time of tumultuous. It was just tumultuous. And I recall that a couple of my children, they all found it difficult, but two in particular really struggled with a lot of things. And it sent them into territory and into places that I never, ever thought was imaginable for my family. And I recall sometimes, I don't want to cry, but sometimes I really felt the devil. He was really very prominent. And I can recall some of those harrowing nights as a mum. And now on my own, on my knees in prayer, asking God to protect. And I can remember, I don't know if we do this, if it's right or wrong, but I can remember talking to the devil and saying to him, "You have absolutely no place in this family. You never ever did. And you have no place in this family whatsoever." And I can remember those nights. I guarantee many of you here have had nights like that too. But I just said, you do not own this family, and you do not control this family, and you will not have your way. You know, we know that scripture so well. The devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. He tried. He tried with all his might. And I thank God today. I think of the victory song, and we talk about that a bit later. The victory is that those two in particular came through and are loving and serving the Lord again, and have claimed that ground again that was lost at that time through that wilderness experience. And I thank God for that, you know. I thank God for those times where it drove me to my knees in absolute despair, but in absolute passion and with a desire that he was not going to have his way. And I can imagine, only in part, some of the experiences Jesus would have had in the wilderness. Our Lord knows how to help those who are lonely. He's been there. We've talked about that. But the other trial was the length of the temptation. This time of testing lasted 40 days. The number 40 in the Bible is used many, many times, as you know. Israel spent 40 days in the wilderness. Moses spent 40 years in the desert training. The spies spent 40 days spying out Canaan. The rains were upon the earth 40 days and nights during the floods. And so the number 40 is a number associated often throughout the Bible. And Matthew tells us in verse 2 that Jesus fasted for 40 days and he spent that time in close communion with his Father. He was preparing himself spiritually for the showdown that was coming when Satan unleashed his temptations on him. And the application for us again. And this needs to be, it must be, an encouragement to us today. We need to remember this along our journey and not to be caught by surprise and be filled with doubt. We never ever know how long our times of testing will be or when they will come our way. But our duty is to be prepared for when they do come. And it's a duty. I think it's something we have to guard ourselves with. And if we're Christians and we're really serious about this journey and the walk with Jesus, we have to anticipate these things and guard ourselves and put on the armour of God to know that these things happen. We don't need to walk in defeatism and think, oh, this journey's so hard. But we need to, just like Jesus, be a step ahead of this rotten adversary, the rotten devil that tries to bring us down. We never know how long our times of testing will be when they do come our way. Our duty is to be prepared, and when they do come, to weather them in the grace of God, like Les talked about this morning, and to lift our heads at the end of them with our testimony intact. We do not know how hard the battles may be. We've proved that. We've had some tough ones. But something else we have proved is that his promise is true, and that he will support us through them all. 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10, and these verses contain that beautiful faith-strengthening verse, and Les referred to it this morning, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And often the focus of this strength can be about how weak we are. Sometimes I think we can tend to err on that side, and, oh, Lord, I'm so weak. This is so hard. but our focus needs to be more on that we have his grace and that his strength, and that our weakness, his strength, shows up in our weakness. And just in closing, just a couple of more things. We'll take a look at Jesus' pattern of restraint in his three temptations. The first temptation, Matthew 4, 3 to 4, and in this temptation, Satan questions the son's relationship with the father. No doubt Satan had heard the father's declaration in Mark 1, 11, and now Satan calls that relationship into question. "Look at you starving here in the wilderness," he said. "If you really are the Son of God, why are you starving to death in this place? Use your power and you turn these stones to bread. Feed yourself, since you are the Son of God." There is no question that Jesus could have turned those stones to bread if he wanted to. He had the power to do so, and it is not a sin to want to meet a legitimate need. But to use his power in the way at this time would have shown a lack of faith in the Father. And the temptation here is for Jesus to act independently of the Father and the Spirit. The devil wants Jesus to do his own thing. The application for us too is, what a challenge to us. How easily we sell out to get our hands on the things we desire. How easily we give in to compromise and sin so that we can satisfy the lusts of our flesh. But like the foolish Jews, we love bread more than we love the Father at times. When we are tempted, we need to look at the conditions of our heart. And I think that's a really important thing to do. Sometimes we get tempted and we look at the temptation, but we need to stop, take a step back and look at the conditions of our heart. That makes sense. It makes sense to me. It's not so much focusing on the temptation, but why is this happening? What's the condition of my heart at the moment? The second temptation, Matthew 4, 5 to 7. Here Satan tries to get Jesus to perform the miraculous apart from the will of the Father. Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. This spot was said to be 450 feet high. And Satan was trying to get Jesus to prove that he was who he claimed to be. He was also trying to get Jesus to accept immediate fame. If he had stepped off the pinnacle of the temple and floated to the ground, he would have instantly been famous. But again, Jesus responded in the proper way, and his response was one of faith. Jesus is saying, it is never right to operate contrary to God's will, regardless of the outcome. God honours obedience and not outcomes. And again, a lesson for us. Far too many people and ministries in our day seem to think the ends justify the means. They have the mentality that everything is all right as long as a few people are brought to the Lord, and as long as things turn out all okay for them in the end. But God does not bless programs, people, and all the things we ask him to bless. He doesn't bless them. He blesses his word, and he blesses obedience to his word. There's a difference there. He blesses his word, and he blesses obedience to his word. The increase belongs to the Lord. Obedience to his word is our responsibility, and God always has and always will bless obedience. He may not bless it in the external ways that men recognise, but he always honours those who honour him. The third temptation, just briefly, Satan, as the god of this world, little g, offers Jesus the kingdoms of the world, and Satan is attempting to get Jesus to take the crown and bypass the cross. For a simple bow to the limited sovereignty of Satan, Jesus could skip the pain of Calvary and have the world fall at his feet. But Jesus responds in a way that honours God once again. He reminds Satan that only God is worthy of worship. You see, Jesus did not come to this world just for a crown. Oh, there is a crown in his future, but for Jesus, a path to the crown led by the cross. And we talked about that last week. Jesus came to this world to die. He would obtain the crown by laying down his life on the cross. And another application from this scripture for us. There is a lesson here. Satan would have us take the easy, painless way. He promises us an easy path if we would just allow him to be the ruler of our lives. But if you give the devil an inch, he will become your ruler. And we might think that sounds a bit dramatic, but it happens. I've seen it in people. And he does it very subtly. And then people start to move away and fall away from God. And we can easily slip under his rulership. God's will is that we walk in his ways and that we trust him to give us the things he desires to bring into our lives in this time. The wonderful thing was about this temptation in the wilderness is that it finished with a testimony. And Luke writes in his account, "And when the devil had ended all his temptation, he departed from him for a season." And this would certainly not be the last encounter Jesus was going to have with him. We know that. The ultimate one was on the cross. But again, I'll close with something that needs to be said here, as I said in the very beginning. The temptation of Jesus was not about trying to get him to sin. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, and it was impossible for him to sin. The Bible is clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He knew no sin." 1 Peter 2:22, "He did not sin." And 1 John 3:5, "Yet he was tempted in every way that mankind is tempted, he did not sin." There are some lessons we can learn from his temptation as well, lessons that can help us in our day of testing. Jesus overcame because he was sinless, but we fall because we are sinful. So how can we obtain victory in our battle with sin? And there are just two things we need to take note of. He was filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he was filled with the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is essential in our journey as Christians if we want to live victoriously in this world. In 1961, a man by the name of Adolf Eichmann went on trial for his crimes as one of the principal architects of the Jewish Holocaust. One of the men who testified against the ex-Nazi was a concentration camp survivor called Yael Dinur. A film clip from Eichmann's 1961 trial shows Dinur walking into the courtroom. Stopping short, seeing Eichmann for the first time since the Nazis had sent him to Auschwitz 18 years earlier, Dinur began to sob uncontrollably, then fainted, collapsing in a heap on the floor. As the presiding judicial officer pounded his gavel for order in the courtroom. Was Dinur overcome by hatred, fear, horrid memories? No. Dinur's account was this. He explained that when he saw Eichmann, he realised Eichmann was not the godlike, little g, army officer who had sent so many to their deaths. This Eichmann was just an ordinary man. This is what Dinur had said. "I was afraid about myself," said Dinur. "I saw that I am capable to do this. I am exactly like he." Mike Wallace, who is a CBS 60 Minutes reporter on this, summed up Dinur's terrible discovery by saying, "Eichmann is in all of us." That is a horrifying statement, but it captures the central truth about man's nature. For as a result of the fall, sin is in each of us. Not just the susceptibility to sin, but sin itself. And how true that is, the possibility to do the greatest of evil exists within each of us. First, we need to be sure that we are in a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. And second, if we are saved, we need to be sure that we are filled with the Spirit and we are delving into the Word of God in our daily lives. We all fight battles with temptation, but there is help in the Lord if we just need to receive it from him. We do. He is waiting to save us if we are lost. He is waiting to strengthen us if we are weak. And he is waiting to forgive us if we have fallen. So I pray that will encourage you today. We do not need to walk in defeat, but in victory, that God is with us. And I just pray that something out of there will touch your heart and that you respond to that and you'll be encouraged as you continue to walk your journey in your with the Lord.